Chapter 29. Trout was the picture of scientific diligence as he checked the graph displayed on the spectrometer screen and jotted down his observations in a notebook. It was the third time he had analyzed the same mineral sample from the Lost City, and the note-taking had nothing to do with what was on the screen. Using his talks with McLean as a guide, Trout was drawing a sketch of the island. The laboratory didn't look like much from the outside. It was housed in three Quonset huts that had served as support crew quarters for the old British submarine base that once occupied the island. Two of the half-cylinder-shaped buildings of corrugated steel had been welded together end to end. A third hut was attached at the midsection so that the lab space was in the form of a large T. An entire hut was taken up by batching vats, and the rest of the space was used for scientific analysis. The dull olive exteriors were patched with rust and projected a general air of neglect, but inside the huts were warm and well lit. The spacious lab was equipped with state-of-the-art scientific tools, as up-to-date as anything Trout had seen in a NUMA facility. The main difference was the addition of the guards, who idled near each door with automatic weapons slung from their shoulders. McLean said he had been brought in by a plane which had given him a bird's-eye view of the island. As the plane made its approach, he'd seen that the island was shaped like a teacup. High vertical sea cliffs ran around the perimeter of the island, broken in one place by a long, tapering harbor. A crescent-shaped beach about a half mile long was sandwiched between the harbor and low cliffs that rose sharply to a high wall whose face was snow-white with a swirling blizzard of seabirds. The submarine pen was at the head of the inlet. A road ran from the crew quarters above the pen's entrance, along the cliffs that bordered the harbor. After the road passed an abandoned church and moldering graveyards and the ruins of an old fishing village, it merged with another way that led inland, climbing through a narrow pass, then descending to the island's interior, once the caldera of a long-dead volcano. In contrast to the rocky ramparts that protected it from the sea, the interior was rolling moorland dotted here and there by small thickets of tenacious scrub pine and oak. The road eventually terminated in the former naval base that now housed the lab complex under Strega's command. McLean was walking across the lab toward Trout's station. "Sorry to interrupt your work," he said. "How is your analysis coming?" Trout tapped the notepad with his pen. "I'm between a rock and a hard place, Mac." McLean leaned over Trout's shoulder as if they were conferring. "I've just come from a meeting with Strega," he said in a low voice. "Evidently, the test of the formula was a success." "Congratulations, I suppose. So that means we have outlived our usefulness. Why aren't we dead already? Strega may be a murderous lout, but he's a meticulous organizer. He'll see to the details of wrapping up the operation on the island first, so he'll have time to enjoy himself without distraction. My guess is that tomorrow he'll take us on a lovely picnic and have us dig our own graves." "That gives us tonight," Trout said. He handed the notebook to McLean. "How does this jibe with your observance of the island topography?" McLean examined the map. "You have a skill at cartography. It's accurate in every detail. But no. Here's how I see it, Mac. As Kurt Austin would say, K-I-S-S. "Pardon me?" "Keep it simple, stupid. We go through the pass, which so happens to be the only way out. Get to the harbor. You said there was a pier there." "I couldn't be sure. We came in at dusk." "It's a reasonable assumption. We'll assume that where there is a pier, there's a boat. We borrow the boat. Then once we're at sea, we figure out where we are." "What about contingencies in case something goes wrong?" "There are no contingencies. If something goes wrong, we're dead. But it's worth a try when you consider the alternative." McLean studied Trout's face. Behind the academic features was an unmistakable strength and resolve. His mouth widened in a grim smile. "The simplicity appeals to me. It's the execution of the plan that's worrisome." Trout winced. "I'd prefer not use the word execution. Sorry for letting my pessimism show. These people have beaten me down. I'll give it everything I've got. Trout leaned back in his chair in thought and stared across the room at Gamay and Sandy, who sat side by side examining specimens from the thermal vents. Then his eyes swept across the lab where the other scientists were immersed in their tasks, blissfully unaware of their approaching doom. McLean joined him in his gaze. What about these other poor souls? Could Strega have embedded any of them to keep an eye on us? I've talked to every one of them. Their fear for their lives is as genuine as ours is. Trout's jaw hardened as he realistically considered the complexities of an escape and the chances that any plan would go awry. It's going to be risky enough with the four of us. A large group would attract more attention. Our only hope is to make it out of the lab complex in one piece. If we can get control of a boat, it will have a position finder and a radio. We can call in help. And if we can't? We'll all be in the same sinking ship. Very well. How do you propose to get us past the men guarding the electrified fence? I've been thinking of that. We're going to have to create a distraction. It will have to be a big one. Strega's men are all professional killers. They might have their hands full trying to save their own skins. McLean's face turned gray when Trout outlined his plan. My God, man. Things could get completely out of control. I'm hoping that's exactly what happens. If we can't commandeer transportation, we'll have to go it on foot, which means we will need every minute we can gain. Don't look now, but one of the guards is watching, McLean said. I'm going to gesture and wave my arms as if I'm angry and frustrated. Don't be alarmed. Be my guest. McLean pointed to the spectrometer screen and scowled. He picked the notebook up, slammed it down, muttered a few curses, then he stalked off across the room. Trout stood and stared at McLean's back with a frown on his face. The guard laughed at the confrontation, then pulled a pack of cigarettes out of his pocket and stepped outside for a smoke. Trout got up and walked across the lab to break the good news to Gamay and Sandy.